It has been glorious. President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report October 1960, pages 114-116. We must take time before the closing song and benediction to express a word of appreciation to those who have contributed to the success and comfort of those who have attended this great conference. I wish first to mention the officers of this city who have watched with care the number of automobiles and their occupants and guided so successfully the hundreds of cars and taken care of the thousands of people who have surrounded the block and driven to and fro. You have noticed them on every corner, their courtesy, their attention, their protecting and guiding care, and in your behalf, in behalf of the general authorities particularly, I express thanks to the city government, and to the police who have protected your interests so carefully and so ably. To the general authorities we express deep appreciation for the inspirational messages they have given us. We haven't had any better. The Lord has guided us from this pulpit during our sessions in the daytime and last evening. We must not be unmindful of the reporters for their fair and accurate reports through our sessions of this conference. They have been here daily and given to the people, to their subscribers, and to the world a very accurate report, not only in word, but in the spirit of the messages given at this conference. The fire department and the Red Cross have been on hand to render assistance and service whenever or wherever needed. The tabernacle ushers have rendered service in seating the vast audiences of these conference sessions. We have expressed before, but repeat, our appreciation to the radio and television stations. 45 television and 62 radio stations throughout our own city and the nation have carried the proceedings of this conference. This has been a means of permitting untold thousands of persons to hear the sermons given during the 130th semi-annual conference. They have rendered that service free. We appreciate especially those who have furnished the singing throughout the conference. I remind you again of the Relief Society Singing Mothers from the Ogden and Northern Utah regions, who furnished the singing for the Friday morning and Friday afternoon sessions, also the University of Utah Choral Society and the Bonneville Strings, the singers from the Institute of Religion and the University of Utah Choral Groups, who furnished the singing for the Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon sessions. Both those sessions were inspirational. Think of the hours that the mothers spend practicing, and think of those young people, of the hours and hours that they practiced, and of their willingness to come and give their talents so impressively. And then last evening, the male members of the Tabernacle Choir came in a body, dressed neatly, in a dignified way, and impressed the 50,000 priesthood members of the church with their excellent singing. Today we are privileged to have the Tabernacle Choir. Words cannot express our heartfelt feelings for their devotion to the cause. I met one sister the other day who was a member for many years, but she has retired. Her heart was just overflowing with gratitude for the opportunity she had had in singing as a member of this choir. That is the feeling that these sisters and the brethren have as they sit under the baton of this great leader and his assistant, practicing hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, to become efficient in this great choral organization. We do not say much about it, brethren and sisters, but we do appreciate what you are doing. Too many of us are like that Scotsman of whom I told you, who had lost his wife by death, and his neighbor came in, gave comfort, and said what a good neighbor she had been, how thoughtful of others. What a good wife she had been to Jock, who was mourning. Jock said, "I, Tammas, Janet was a good woman, a good neighbor as you say. She was a use and mare. She was I a good, true if he tame me, and I came near telling her see ain't sir twice." We express again our appreciation to those who sent these lovely flowers to us. We want to thank all those who have contributed in any way to the success and inspiration of this great conference. Now, brethren and sisters, may I say just a word in conclusion. I have a deep admiration in my heart for Simon Peter, president of the 12 apostles. He said in one of his general epistles, "Come to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That comes from Simon Peter, who was only 2.5 years, a little more, in the personal presence of his Lord. Before that he did not care much for the church, but before this writing he had a testimony of the divinity of the sonship of Jesus Christ. More than that, he had experienced that communion of the Spirit with his resurrected Lord, and speaks here of being a partaker of the divine nature. Hold to that thought in the midst of an atheistic world, mentioned by Brother Benson and others. While there are godless men who deny the resurrection of Christ, who deny his living spirit, and who have taught for 40 years young men and young women to deny him. That is a terrible thing when you think of it. Some of us thought 20 years ago that such a godless organization would break of its own weight, and now young men who were 10 years of age when communistic ideology took possession of so many are now 50 years of age. Peter says to those who knew Christ, who had partaken of his spirit, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know God and his beloved Son is eternal life. I do not know the author, but there comes to my mind now these lines: admire the goodness of Almighty God, he riches gave intellectual strength to few, nor now commands to be nor rich, nor learned, nor promises reward of peace to these, on all he moral worth bestowed, and moral tribute asks from all, and who that could not pay, who born so poor, of intellect so mean as not to know what seemed the best and knowing might not do, and he who acted thus fulfilled the law eternal and his promises reaped in peace, who sought health, sought mellow grapes beneath the icy poles, soft blooming roses on the cheek of death, sought substance in a world of fleeting shades. God help us to be partakers of the divine nature. May the spirit of this great conference radiate from your hearts to those whom you will meet when you go back to your stakes and wards, and especially may it radiate in your homes. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.